So in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, he said that everything that he's doing is consistent with the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, very critical before I jump. And everything will be done to the praise of the glory of his grace. I need to explain that. God's eternal purpose flows on a fuel. There is something with which God builds. Oh my, you are not with me. You are getting lost. How can we continue this testimony? You know, you must have realized I'm not preaching. I'm testifying about Ephesians. Trying to unveil it. This is not teaching, it's testimony. Now, if you get lost, I'm suffering right now. Suffering on divine revelation. If you get lost, have you seen people suffering on the ocean and then they're plunging into it? Because you, at some point, you forget the rhythm of the movement. You are about to suffer that fate now. Hallelujah. So arise in your spirit. I'm saying here, give me that scripture again. Because even the people in the technical, I don't know if they are afraid. They don't leave my scripture. Hallelujah. He said, to the praise and glory of his grace. What that scripture means is that grace is elevated. Grace is glorified. Grace is the energy by which God builds that thing he wants to do from eternity. The resource, the vision cannot come to pass without infrastructure. And that's why in the creation policy you see in the book of Genesis, the first thing that God does is to provide infrastructure. Oh my God, you are not with me. Infrastructure is critical. And in our own time, the definition of infrastructure has increased. It's not roads and water and office accommodation anymore. Internet is also infrastructure now. How many of you have data on your phone? Let me. You are out of infrastructure. If you don't have data, you are out of the scope. I'm saying here that when God put his plans together, he had to fund it. And the currency by which he funded his plans is called grace. This system he put in place exalted grace, is glorified grace, made grace an object of his praise. So grace happens to be the fuel that God releases, alright, so that there can be an implementation of his agenda. So when God opens a new season, just like he has opened now in the body of Christ, what he does is that there is a new kind of grace that he makes available. And for everyone that is in alignment, enters into that grace. Prophets that understand the things of the Spirit begin to interpret it. Begin to know, begin to bring about, like right now, should I tell you something? Oh my God. Right now, part of the grace that has been released to the body of Christ is a grace for wealth. And that is the reason why I said we are putting in place a team of skilled men that will educate interested people on how to enter into the economic war front. You see, building as a pastor is a function of your ability to discern what grace is available. Because if you miss out on grace, you'll be paralyzed. He said this entire arrangement was put in place to glorify grace. Was put in place so that his grace will be praised. It is by grace. So I need to define what grace is. Because I know you have many definitions of grace from many, many, many teachers. What is grace? That's the lesson for today. Grace. Because if God builds, He does what? He builds with grace. Can you imagine someone born a stammerer becomes a preacher of the gospel? And it's not as if the symptoms of stammering have totally gone. If I'm not preaching, it's still difficult for me to speak. But when I step on the podium here and take hold of the microphone, many times my wife knows, you may not. He said, by what spirit did you speak today? I don't understand that. It's called grace. That's the energy, that's the funding that God puts in place in order to advance His agenda on the face of the earth. You see, I'm trying to climb from the eternal studio into time and the resources you need for actualization. Time will change nothing. You know, a preacher of the gospel sang a song one time, the difference between you and I is time. It's a lie. Time doesn't have any inherent potential to bring change. You will wait on end and the darkness will still remain. But there's something called grace. Grace. But He made grace available. Today, I've heard testimonies from people that say they can't live a day without hearing one of my tapes. How did I come into their world so strong like this? How did my voice become part of their day? It's called grace. And grace, grace, are you with me? Because there is a temptation for you to think, I say, oh my God, I'm now a big man of God. You are lost. Because in revival, the moment we say we got it, we lost it. Your heart will no longer be humble enough to align for the next supply of the dose of grace needed to advance you forward. I remember where He took me from the sheep coat. I can never forget that vision. Because if you forget the sheep coat, you will become proud. You will think you were always great. You will think you were always strong, and you will not give glory to God for His grace. The empowerment. Oh my God. I remember when I walked on the streets of Mzimba, Malawi. We were preparing for an event. And I landed there in their own time, which is 3 hours, I believe, ahead of ours. 7 p.m. in the evening. And a great host was waiting for me to arrive. And when we got to the place, they almost hailed me as a god. I had to model myself with humility in their midst and to channel their hearts to look upon God. Because the way they wanted to hail me, if I accepted that hailing, I'll be dry of grace. It's only men that know that grace must be exalted, that know how to stay long in the journey of destiny. They wanted to make me God. They waited until I came. It was a 7-hour trip and they were waiting there for me to show up. And when I came, I laid hands on them, all the people waiting, and released them to go home. That from tomorrow, God will begin to speak into the territory. When they went to sleep, I didn't sleep. Because the expectation was so much. I don't know whether you understand the insecurities that bedevil your soul when men begin to expect from you only such things that God can give. That was when I knew that in Southern Africa there was something called winter. I never knew that. The cold was a demon itself. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There was no form of covering I used that I found. My heart was about to dry up. And I cried. Not just for the message to preach. I also cried to survive the night. And the cold was a companion to ensure that sleep never came to my eyes. And as my custom is, when I come into a rural environment, I find grace flowed in my vessel. It was as if I was delivered from kidnap. The sensation, the joy was like one that has been in captivity, that escaped, it began to flow. Even the message to preach began to come. I stayed on my knees until I heard, because I've never been there before. I studied all I could from the internet about the location I was going. The pastor asked, "Will you want to stay in the hotel or in my house?" I said, "I will be in your house, okay? Just look for a room for me." Don't be too quick to look for a hotel in a land that you have never been to. Oh, I will not. When I'm 45, I will testify. Locate the house of the pastor and let them sanctify a room, consecrate a room to them. Many devils you will be delivered from. Okay, well, the Lord will give you. By 7 a.m., the grace began to flow. Oh my God. So I heard the pastor speaking in tongues in his own room. And he intensified. Do you know what? When we came, it was in the morning. People had trekked from Tanzania. People had trekked from Zambia. The hospital, which was the only hospital in Uzimba, had discharged his patients. They said, "Go and get your healing. We can't help you." So the reason why the people believed was because there was no plan for health care in that entire southern district. And the only way they get healed is when a genuine man of God comes. As we were driving in, there were pastors standing either side of the road, waving like this. If they wave to you like that, for every wave, say, "Thank you, Jesus." Give the, "Oh, no." If you are the one at the mercy of grace, you are the one. So you say, "Glory." "Hitherto has the Lord helped us." They were waving. I asked the pastor that invited me, are we under attack? He said, "No, the ministers of the land, they honor you." By the time we came out, plenty children came with flour and spoke a strange language and gave me flowers. So I gave somebody. We stood on the pulpit. When I came, they couldn't sit down. For 15 minutes, they were shouting. The man inside the television has come out and he's in our neighborhood. Ooh! And I saw it was not me they were looking for. They were looking for God. And I called God. And before I could finish asking for mercy, they brought one cripple and put that one here. The guy was 9 years old. He had never walked. And the legs were not just crippled, they were twisted. I said, "Well, just in case you don't know why we were healing you, maybe you forgot." Call upon the name of your God. And my mentor stopped me. He said, "When men put you under pressure, ignore it. You can only pray, you don't answer prayer." So I left the crypt. In fact, I made up my mind that in my teaching, you know, I like walking when I teach. I'd already apportioned my movement. That nothing would take me close there. And I was teaching about the Holy Ghost. That was the message God gave me. And the power of God. As I was teaching and teaching, then I noticed that the guy on the pulpit, he began to shake. Ready? Well, I have nothing to do with that. I don't know anything about that. I continued teaching about the Holy Ghost and the potency of the power of God. It was a morning service, not an evening service. Everybody was there. And this young boy began to shake. And you know, I didn't know, I was not experienced to know that God has already started for me to now pray. I didn't know that. And he shook until he stood up by himself. He stood up like this. Then his mother was in. I didn't know that was his mother. The mother was already rolling on the ground. And I didn't understand. Because they were speaking a strange language. Umpingo wa Cristo. That kind of thing. Umpingo. I didn't know what was going on there. The young man stood up on his feet. And the pastor stood up from his seat and said, "What?" Because those guys, those people are his members. He knows them. And I was trying to examine the young man when the pastor touched me. And then what I could not say that was hanging here. Because work was here. But there was no authority to say it out. So when the pastor touched me, then walk now came out. And the boy began to walk. The whole place shook. You know the way we say praise the Lord, hallelujah here? We are still learning. The guy began to walk. His mother began to cry. And then instantly five crippled people in the congregation stood up and began to walk. My message never finished. I was still talking about the Holy Ghost and nobody was hearing me anymore. Because crippled people were walking. When I now said, in the name of Jesus, the power of God took the choir people to poof, like a storm. And among them, the deaf began to hear. The miracles continued. And the crowd invaded the pulpit area. The security people had to steal me away from the altar. We escaped the ground and ran to safety. By 11 p.m. in the night, there was a host of people that had gathered from Tanzania, from Zambia. And the wife of the pastor called his husband, "Bring the Nigerian preacher back." There was no schedule for evening service because the next day was Sunday morning. We had to come 11 p.m. And when I stood on the pulpit, all I said was, "In the name of Jesus." That was all. Miracles. I have never been as powerful as that in all my life. You've seen the anointing of my life. And maybe you say, "Wow, what I saw there was more than anything you ever saw." I have this great faith. I believe God just did that to show me what was in the future. The faith. The faith was enormous. When we left that place, people now joined a line to sit on my, take turns to sit on my seat. Yes. Because I was no longer there. People were getting healed just sitting on the seat. And there was a woman that sat on the seat and began to prophesy. And they wrote down the accurate prophecies. So the service continued all night, even without the presence of the preacher. Grace. It's called grace. Grace is the energy he deploys to ensure that what is in the studio comes to pass. I saw so many miracles that they didn't believe I was human. They didn't believe. In fact, before I eat, they kneel down to wash my hands. Oh. Meanwhile, there are only two foods. Don't say whom. The food, they, you can count. There are only two foods. The semovita and rice. That's all. It's called unsima. Unsima. Their own semovita, they call it. Then we travel back to the capital. I was just singing praises to God. And when we got to the capital, the guy driving me now said, "This is his father-in-law's house. Can we pray for him before we go on?" I said, "Why not?" Because my flight was for 11 p.m. in the night. And we got there by 8. So we had enough time. Walked into the place. I greeted the man and said, "Good day." The man didn't answer. I said, "Good day." He didn't answer. Then I realized he was deaf in this ear.
Then when he now turned, he spoke to me, greeted me, and answered him. So he now responded. I said, okay, this one can hear, this one can hear. And I told him, Jesus can open your ear. And I now touched the ear with my left hand. And when I touched the ear without prayer, the ear started hearing. And the man began to cry and began to dance. He was 64 years. He became deaf in that ear when he was 9. Started dancing. And I noticed his wife didn't join him in the dance, only to discover that she was crippled. And I touched the legs, raised her up, kicked her chair from her back, and pushed her. And she began to walk. The driver that drove me there started crying. She not only walked, she started running. I don't know for how long she sat on that chair, but she began to run. The son came from one door here and said, hey, this fake prophet again. He said that in his heart, but I heard it as if a human being spoke to me. I said, you called me a false prophet. He denied, then I released power. Then he was on the ground. When we're going to the airport, the driver was crying. I was arrested by the military people for making their citizen to cry. And the guy told them, this kind of a man cannot be arrested. He advised them and told them all the testimonies. The military people escorted me to the plane. And I was on that plane until we got to Kenya, just giving glory to God. And that's what Paul said, to the praise and what? Glory of his grace. The system is designed to glorify the grace of God. And you will know this is not your doing, this is the workings of the grace of God. Have you found limitations in your life? It is an indication of lack of grace. For the Bible says that the Spirit himself helpeth our infirmities. Can we pray today? Can we pray today? That he might help our infirmities. That he might supply his grace. That he might destroy the patterns of limitation. If only you find grace today. If only you find grace. 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 The design was ordained to exalt the grace of God, so that it will be known that it's not by power, it is not by might, but it is by the Spirit of the Most High God. Oh my God. If you find grace, if by chance you find grace, your tears will be over. If by chance you find grace, then something stronger than the devil will be responsible for your advancement. If by chance you find grace. And so he said we should come boldly unto the throne of grace. That we should come boldly. We should be bold as we come. Bold as we approach. Bold as we enter. Because there's a throne that manages grace. That bequeaths grace. Aikos esiko pento kofelami. Iskoniso saleta. It's not about the strength you have or the training you have received. It's about the grace of God. Come on, dear mama. Si cabrabo, e patelli, sendo messo si, rame tutte la mala, vos che beso compre mamasso che pala. Aie compes chiso, precos che va lama,
Your prayer.
Thank you.